One of the propositions taking hold in the wake of the Eric Garner and Michael Brown cases is to equip more police officers with body cameras. Advocates of the idea say cameras increase transparency and improve trust between communities and the police. The Los Angeles Police Department recently bought 860 body cameras, and over the course of this year, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti says that he wants to get all of the department's roughly 7,000 frontline officers wearing cameras. The LAPD bought its cameras from Taser. That's one of the leading companies that makes them right now. Along with cameras, Taser sells subscriptions to a site called Evidence.com. Police departments can use the site to digitally store and manage all the video that officers record when they're out on a shift. Steve Tuttle is one of the founding members of Taser and their vice president of strategic communications. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
Oh, good to be here.
President Obama, as you know, last month called for $75 million in federal funding to get 50,000 more police officers equipped with body cameras. Your own CEO, Rick Smith, called that a step in the right direction to help improve relations between police officers and communities. How would it do that?
Well, right now, if we were to empower the police with what we call the legal body armor of having these on-officer cameras, I think we would give more accountability to the public, and we'd provide a lot more transparency in the event of a use of force situation in which there's a he said, she said.
Okay, so you call them on-officer cameras. Where would they be on the officer?
We have two different cameras that we sell. The Axon Flex is a camera that mounts either to glasses, a hat, snow cap, your lapel, your collar. The other one is called the Axon Body, and that's kind of self-explanatory in that it mounts to your body, typically to your chest, and it has a wider fisheye lens, so it captures more of what the officer might see versus the one that goes in the glasses. That's going to be looking anywhere that the officer is looking, especially if it's attached to their head.
Are they obvious to someone looking at the officer? Can you tell that the officer is wearing a camera?
Yes, you can certainly see them, and we want the officers to let the people know that they've got them, and we really encourage the agencies to go public with these because it encourages better behavior on both sides of the badge.
This may differ from state to state, but does the officer have to let someone know that they're being recorded?
As you pointed out, there are different rules and regulations in the states, and there are some that do require two-party consent, but there are not that many that are out there still doing that, and some of them are now leaning towards just the one-party consent.
But what if an officer's wearing a camera and the person doesn't want to be photographed?
Well, that's up to the policies of those states in which it's a two-party consent. They may still not have that ability to stop the recording if they're under arrest, since you lose some of your rights when that situation occurs. But if you're just simply walking to somebody and they're not under arrest, they may have to stop that recording.
The recording starts when, or is it just running as long as the officer's on duty?
The camera that you put on your body, an Axon camera, once you go on patrol, is always recording in a video mode. Now, what that does is it saves all the most recent video of the previous 30 seconds. So that's called the buffer mode. And once it's doing that, what the officer is then waiting for is an event to occur. Perhaps maybe a radio call out. If you got a radio call out, you're going to double click that button. It will grab the previous 30 seconds of video only, and then it begins to add the audio portion. And then that officer then goes on to the scene of the crime, maybe interviews a suspect, maybe arrests somebody, keeps that camera rolling until that person is in jail. And then they press and hold that button for 5 seconds. You now have an event of that recording. And that if it were to be played back, you would hear 30 seconds of silence prior to when that officer pushed that button. And then you would then capture all that audio and visual occurrence that occurred during that pressing of the button forward. So that's what we call an event.
And what happens if the officer doesn't have time in an emergency to press the button?
Well, that is a concern. And actually, in 2015, we're coming out with what's called light bar activation and taser activation, meaning that if the officer were to respond to a call, if they change their light bar to a siren or if they change it to a flashing light, that would automatically turn the camera on. If the officer happens to run after somebody and turn a smart weapon on, our taser weapons, that would also send a Bluetooth signal to the camera to turn it on as well.
If the officer engages a taser, you're saying the camera would automatically go on?
That's correct, coming this year. So we want to make that to be an automatic flip-on so that if they're under duress or something spontaneously happens, that they can actually have those cameras turn on. And there's some other features we'll be coming out with in the future for that. But it really hasn't been a big issue for us in that the policies typically dictate that if you get a call on the radio, go ahead and push that button. It's going to capture the sights and sounds and of what that officer is feeling and seeing on the way to an event. If you get out of your car, for example, and you've not been called to something, maybe you want to investigate something. Go ahead, since you're going to be interacting with the public, double-click it and just record it as an event.
Do you think that there's any chance that if someone knows that they're being taped by or recorded by a police officer, that that might put the police officer in more danger?
No. In fact, the evidence shows that it actually keeps the officer safer and the suspect safer. There was a watershed moment for us. It was called the Cambridge University Rialto Police Department study. Rialto is a suburb of Los Angeles, and they looked at the Taser Axon camera flex system for 1 year in a blind study, and they found that the complaints were reduced by 88%. Now, that's a game changer in and of itself, because you've now got a witness to certain situations where there's been previously no witness. The bigger game changer was the 59% drop in use of force. So that clearly is changing behaviors on both sides of the badge there because, you know, much like a spokesperson like myself, if I see a camera light turn red, I change my behavior. I'm more professional as a spokesman. I talk more politely. And I think that that's what's occurring with the police. They're being more professional. And the suspects, thankfully, are also seeing themselves recorded, and they don't tend to ramp up their emotions. They tend to keep a more level head.
Back to our conversation with Steve Tuttle, one of the founding members of Taser International and their vice president of strategic communications. Taser sells body cameras for police and offers a cloud-based storage platform. It's called evidence.com, and it allows police departments to store and manage the video that officers record. Steve, what happens after the recordings are made and the officer goes back to headquarters?
Well, typically the officer will have many contacts with the public at the end of a shift. And when they go back to the station to write the reports, what they will do is take off the equipment and put it into a charging station. And that charging station transfers the evidence in a secure encrypted line up to evidence.com. And they can be pulled and searched by the appropriate people at police departments as easily as doing an internet search. And that if there's a complaint, you could pull that up doing, again, like an internet search on the evidence.com.
Is it really that easy, though? Because presumably there's a lot of video recorded on these body cameras. For instance, how much might come out of one shift, an active shift by an officer?
You could get several hours sometimes uploaded to maybe an hour or two. And then some days you'll see a lot of different events if it's been a busy night, maybe on a Friday or Saturday night.
But how are you going to know how to retrieve that?
It's really simple, because what you can do is, when you record an event, let's say I watch somebody run a red light. I record that on my Axon Flex. I give that ticket to that person. When I'm done with the ticket, I go back to my car, and then I stream that video back to my smartphone. I play it back. I can then start adding meta tags and reports on my smartphone to that video. So now I'm adding fresh information to that report, and that information stays tied to that video. Now, at the end of the day, you've got a lot of different meta tags attached to all these different videos, but they upload to the cloud, and then all those tags make it very easily searchable for anyone that has access specific to those particular arrests. Now, this isn't willy-nilly. Not everybody can watch these videos. You know, another sergeant couldn't watch somebody else's video, for example. It would be all set up by the internal affairs and the command staff when they set up the evidence.com. And they can share that video very quickly with a district attorney. We set up the district attorney with an evidence.com account, and then they can watch that video. Now, every action that you do is recorded. So if that DA watches that video, it tags the DA as watching it at that particular time of day. If they add notes, it shows the notes added by the DA.
You don't have to worry about ethical officers, but those who are not so, can this tape be edited?
No, there is no delete button on the actual hardware itself. So if I'm carrying this, you know, Axon Flex camera, I have no way of deleting that information.
You can't delete. So not just edit, but you can't actually wipe out an incident.
I cannot wipe it out. There's no delete button on the hardware. And then if the video has to be redacted, it always keeps the original version, and then the redactions can occur, and it saves it as a redacted video. And if it goes into court, we can have a forensic analyst go back and review the original video and say, looking at this video quality, I can see that every frame is here. There's none missing.
How about if I'm the person who's being recorded, say I got stopped for speeding or whatever incident, do I have access to that tape?
Well, you could file a Freedom of Information Act. That's certainly been done in many cases. It could be shared with the plaintiff's attorneys as well.
Why would I have to file a Freedom of Information Act if I'm one of the people on the tape?
Well, you could certainly get, again, you could certainly have that aspect to it if you're involved in an arrest and that video needs to be shared with your attorney.
I mean, that's potentially problematic because Freedom of Information Acts can take years.
Well, we've not had too many problems with the Freedom of Information Acts with our material because of the redaction capabilities. And in many times, we've got lots of clients that, you know, like Winston-Salem is our largest account right now. They've had no issues with the FOIA requests. In fact, they said, you know, please ask away if you'd like them.
I know that dashboard cameras are public record in some states. Would these body cams not be public record?
These would probably be considered public record in many cases.
So what about potential privacy concerns then?
Well, the privacy concerns are certainly there, and that's up to the individual agencies and the state laws that deal with that. But again, that's one of the reasons we made it simple to have redaction features. And there are things that have to be redacted by the police department, such as, you know, license plates, the NCIS screens on their own dashboards, juveniles, maybe someone that's been a victim of sexual assault. So they have the ability to have these redacted. And we know privacy is certainly a concern, so we want to give them the features that can make this shareable in the manner that's necessary for the public, but at the same time try to manage those expectations for privacy.
So right now, and we're not talking the design of your product, of the body cams, we're talking about laws, but right now, legally speaking, it would be the police officer who decides what should be redacted and not the person who's being videotaped.
Well, actually, wouldn't it be that police officer? What would be redacted is what the attorneys at the department or someone in charge of the internal affairs would have to redact.
Are the cameras designed to benefit police or the public?
I think it's to benefit both. But I think given what's happened recently in Ferguson and in other, you know, cities across the nation now, the police are under a microscope. They need to have these types of tools because I think that's, you know, right now, you know, the citizens have been filling police officers for years with cell phones, but they're not showing the full context of what happened. I know my own son, he's a teenager. He would probably want to film a Phoenix police officer if he happened to pull out a baton or a taser and use it. If he uploads that to YouTube, we don't know why that officer used force. And it really skews the public's idea of police right now. And if we can take some doubt and uncertainty away from situations such as Ferguson or other places, I think that we could really stop this powder keg of these incendiary comments from people about police officers' actions.
Although there's still a lot of discussion about what happened in the case of Eric Garner, who was caught on video by a bystander, not a body camera on an officer. The officer was shown on the video to have Garner in a chokehold. Garner saying over and over again, I can't breathe. In this case, the officer wasn't indicted, and there are still great questions about that.
Well, as you mentioned, that was not a body camera, and that means the police officers didn't know they were being recorded. So,
but how,
you know,
why does that make a difference?
Well, I think it does make a difference knowing that you're wearing equipment, that you're recording yourself, and that you're recording with the public. I think that's where we see the better behavior. But if we're going to look at the Garner case, you know, what would that have been without video? At least there was civilian video to show what happened.
But
if a grand jury decides based on that video not to indict, that was a good video of perhaps for that grand jury. But to not have it would have been a disservice possibly.
Yes, but it also speaks to the fact that the video alone doesn't necessarily stop the discussion over what really happened.
Well, I think we have to look at this sort of like taser. It's not a magic bullet. The cameras are not a magic bullet, but they are the best tools right now, given the technology that's out there. I think they're paradigm shifts. These are tremendous game-changing pieces of equipment. And you are going to have some situations where it's not perfect. But that's the challenge right now. What do we have if we don't have these cameras? We're relying on the he said, she said. We're relying on what the police officer says in the reports. We're relying on witnesses that can change their opinions and change their minds and have different views. So why not have this legal body armor that protects the officers, protects the public, protects the suspects to give the best evidence available?
Steve Tuttle, spokesman for TaserandEvidence.com, one of the original founders of the company. Thank you.
Thank you.